food producer Libstar Holdings has reported a 16% fall in full-year normalized earnings, hit by a write-down on its niche beverages business. CFO Robin Smith joins us in studio now with more of the detail behind its performance, which, despite getting a mere satisfactory rating, has seen the group declare a maiden cash dividend of 22 cents a share. Thanks so much, Robin, for joining us in studio this evening. So you've described the period as presenting the toughest trading environment Libstar's experienced since its inception 14 years ago, where it's real structural pressures that are currently being exerted on the sector. Do you think that the trough has been hit?
Difficult to say. We're very cautiously optimistic about trading conditions going forward, but very difficult to say whether we've hit the trough yet. Last year was an interesting year for us because, despite the headwinds, the macro headwinds, we still managed to post positive top-line growth, and of that positive top-line growth, the organic component of 5.1% was quite meaningful. And then of that, the 3.8% of real volume growth, like-for-like volume growth, was also meaningful, with only price and mix being the remaining 1.3%. So fairly pleasingly top-line growth for us, as well as improvement in margins.
Top-line growth that hasn't filtered through all the way to the bottom line, and that as a result of a 42 million rand impairment of your niche beverage business.
Correct.
What exactly has gone wrong there?
Well, the niche beverage industry that we're in is the bottom range of the dairy fruit concentrate business. And whilst that business is quite buoyant, in about 2013, 2014, the whole category has kind of slid down. In fact, it's flat to declining in terms of volumes, and even more so in terms of margins. So we've rationalized that business quite significantly by removing and transferring into other business units within the group the non-beverage elements to it, some of the grocery elements that are not considered as beverage. The residual business that remains within that business unit is too small to justify the goodwill that was attached to that business, and in particular the intangible called brands, that we attached to it in 2013. So it's just a prudent move to write that business down to the correct level and to consider our options, strategic options for that business going forward.
So those are some of the strategic options at your disposal when it comes to that component of the business. On the other side, you've been increasing your capacity and entering high growth categories over the past year. Do you see these categories being as high growth as initially envisaged?
Well, certainly in our perishables category, we see a lot of runway for continued growth. And that would be largely driven by our dairy business, the Lancewood dairy business, which is a market leader today in many respects. So the whole of the perishables category is still really, really core to us, and we see a good runway for growth. As we do with the other three main categories, ambient groceries, we always say that our DNA is made up of ambient groceries. That's how we grew up. That's how we started our business. So wet and dry condiments within the ambient groceries category. And then the exciting ones for us, smaller but fast growing, is our snacks and confectionery category, and then our baking and baking aids category. All of those have seen significant growth in the prior year.
Yeah, that becomes key, Robin, because the reliance now is very strong on volume growth over and above everything else, with inflation likely to be between 0 and 2%, meaning growth would depend on volumes from here on out. Yep. What kind of volume growth are you targeting?
Well, that 0 to 2%, if I might just interject, is the is more of an industry type guidance for food inflation. And that would include the commodity baskets. So we are a lot less reliant on commodities. So our food inflation is certainly higher than the 0 to 2%. So we would say anywhere between 4 and 6% would be our average kind of food inflation. And then volume, obviously, as much as we can to get the throughput through our factories to get even more leverage on that gross margin line, which we saw tick up quite nicely at the back end of last year.
How targeted is your approach? I mean, how exactly do you plan on penetrating markets more so and increasing your market share?
Well, it's really a laser focus on what we call, categories and channels. So category management and channel management is hugely important to us. And we review these things for gaps in the marketplace in terms of product. And we then gear our innovation team accordingly to produce products that are relevant in the current environment, and that continue to excite the shopper, because despite the fact that The economy is down and the consumer's under pressure, they're still looking for excitement. They're looking for newness. Mm-hmm. They're looking for experiences within the food market. So it's focusing on delivering value-added products to the consumer.
And that not just locally, it's abroad as well. So how rife are your export ambitions amidst it all?
Yes, so we're pleased to see our export increase from 11% in the prior year to 12% of total revenue for F18. Our export ambitions for this year is continued growth. We're seeing some nice market opening opportunities in the Far East. Places like Japan are starting to become interesting markets for us for our herbs and spices and our tea products, particularly our rooibos tea product. So we've got big ambitions for increasing that export line in the current year and looking ahead.
Let's leave it there, Robin. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that's CFO of Libstar, Robin Smith.